Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who is still drunk from last week's show. How did that happen? It's Richard Herring. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming. And happy Christmas, everyone. Because it's pretty much Christmas. So I think, if I've got my sums right, if not... Happy New Year! Happy 2 weeks to Christmas. We're covered. Whenever it goes out, we're now covered. So welcome to Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. And if you forgot about this very essential bit of the show, I was talking to Perkin Warbeck and Lambert Simnel the other day, the pretenders to the throne of Henry VII. I don't hardly need to tell you. And they call it Rahalastapas. I don't know if that's going to... Catch on, we'll see. So, I've had quite a week. My dog's had diarrhea. I've got a pet dog, and that's had diarrhea. So 2 mornings this week I've woken up. Actually, the night after celebrity quiz night, or whatever that thing was called, I got drunk and I had to wake up to clear up 5 piles of dog diarrhea, which is off a kitchen floor. There's little ruts in it. You know, I worried 10 years ago when I was thinking I might have kids one day. I thought, I won't be able to cope with the nappies. Now just my whole day is just cleaning up other creatures' shit. Sometimes not even human beings. Ever cleaned up some dog diarrhea? Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? Have a little lick of it just to see. Just to see, yeah. It looks like a kind of chocolate topping. Doesn't taste like it. So, what's your name, sir? You've got a Brian Blessed t-shirt on. Stuart, you've changed so much, mate. It's going all right. You're a fan of Brian Blessed? Were you hoping Brian would be here tonight? That was the best one. Don't say that. What about James O'Brien's sitting back there?
He was last week, but he's waiting around drinking free beer. He's insane. It was a very good podcast. Were you at the Brian Blessed podcast? Were you? Yeah.
No, I wasn't. Sorry.
You were at the James one. He said I was. Oh, no, I wasn't. He realised his lie. Yeah, I was there. No, I wasn't. It felt like. I didn't feel like I was there, to be honest. So it didn't. Stuart, what do you do for a living?
I work in IT.
You work in IT? That's weird. If I'd had to guess, mate, I would have. I might have gone for that. Is this your mate? Or have you just met tonight? What's your name?
James,
you're wearing a Vault 3 built. Don't understand what that is. Diamond City. Do you understand what that is? It's a computer game. Okay. Do you work in IT, James? Are you the coolest bloke in the IT room? Yeah, I thought so. You've got a wedding ring. Are you married? Wow. Are you married to each other? No. Well, why did you point? Just pointed at him when I said, you're married. You pointed at him. Okay, that's fine. You're married. You work in IT and you're married to a human. Not a robot. Actual robot. How long have you been married for? 13 years. Were you working in IT when you got married? No. Okay, so there we go. We got to the bottom of that mystery. Anyway, you're both very welcome. I have to turn back a little bit for this next guest because I wrote my notes of her about 3 or 4 weeks ago when she was meant to be on the first time. Let's see if she's turned up today. My next guest is well known from her not yet broadcast appearance on Celebrity Games Night that we all probably talk about that. She is also Gwen from Dinopause, which some of the dads and mums will have seen. It's Amanda Abington, ladies and gentlemen. That was lovely. Welcome. Please sit down. Pick up a microphone. Hold it to your face. Then
so
we're off.
They've gone home.
They're all here. Everyone's still here.
You stayed.
They all stayed. Of course.
Sure.
It's the main attraction.
Hello.
Hello. We met. I don't think I've met you before. I may be wrong, but we met on.
Well, you'd
last,
have remembered.
I would definitely have remembered.
No one forgets this visage.
But we met again. We met for the first time on Thursday.
Yeah, we did. Explain, Richard.
Celebrity Games Night, which is a new. Panel show, kind of game show. It's a bit like House of Games mixed with Taskmaster. Surprising they've come up with that idea. And it's come over from Hollywood. It was a lot of fun, wasn't it? I mean,
I got very drunk, so much that the runner had to say to the bar lady on the set, don't give her any more wine. Because she's getting really minty and competitive, and I get very competitive, as my children will tell you. But it was awful.
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of fun.
It was a terrible night.
I mean, it was when we met in the dressing room backstage. I said, "Oh, it's nice to see you again after last week when we worked together." And she said, "What was that?"
Not a clue.
So
didn't remember.
4 days
ago. Didn't remember meeting him.
didn't
remember meeting Dick.
It's very easy to happen. I think I'm going to make a bold prediction about Celebrity Games Night.
Go on.
I think a celebrity is going to get seriously injured on it, and it's not going to be broadcast.
It's never going to be shown on British television. You'll find it on YouTube in about 10 years' time.
Well, I was saying that backstage there was the clip of Inside Number 9, the live show they did the other day. There was a clip of Bobby Davros. Falling face foot, he's in putting some stocks, and then it's Keith Chegwin and Lionel Blair dancing, singing Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, and then Bobby Davros. It was a Bobby Davros pilot for a game show Bobby Davros was doing, and then he's in the stocks at the end of the show, and then the stocks just start tipping forward, and because he's in stocks, he has nothing, he can't break his fall. And he breaks his fall with his face.
Amazing. Amazing.
And luckily,
was he the same dude on the ice skating that just drifted off? He like went backwards and then just like, no, who was that? There was some dude that was on, this is a great story. But he just disappeared and then came just like, somebody obviously pushed him back on. And he was
who was it? Todd Carty.
Thank you.
That's very nice.
Similar
nothing,
to Bobby Davros.
Nothing like Bobby Davros. How dare you talk
so
to Todd
similar.
Like that? Todd is a god. Did you do a lot of those? You've done House of Games.
I did, and I won it.
Did you?
Say that. See, competitive again, completely.
I did House of Games as well.
Did you win?
But it hasn't been broadcast. I'm not allowed to discuss the fact that I didn't win.
Oh.
So
whisper.
I always lose. I lost. I'm not, spoiler alert, my team lost. I was the best. I beat you at everything, but my team lost in the...
On the thing we did, because no one's going to see it, so no. Yeah. I was quite good at the end when we had to do the questions. I was very drunk and just was powering through.
The last round is very exciting. It's an odd thing doing those kind of shows, especially because it's like a new show and you don't know what's going to be. Mm-hmm. And then I felt very sorry for the audience at that show. I mean, I keep my audience in here for a long time.
Yeah, there were people trying to get home, like getting the last bus and tube, and it was awful. It was. I felt really sorry.
I can't believe
for
anyone
them.
Stayed, but I think they.
I can't believe they were there to begin with.
It's a free night out in Elstree. What?
Yeah,
what
but they didn't get. I think they got some Haribo. There was one. There was a competition that the dude was doing where you had to eat. What was it? The biscuit.
Yeah, chocolate biscuit on your face. I mean, it was the best bit of the show. It was the warm-up guy.
He was, yeah.
He should be the show.
He should do the show.
It was good. Dinopause.
Why did you bring that up?
Because I watched Dinopause with my daughter, my three-year-old daughter.
It's just weird because, you know, I've been doing fucking television for 20 years and you bring up Dinopause.
We're going to talk about
some
other stuff.
Serious shit.
We're going to talk about other stuff later. But
and you bring up a fucking dinosaur.
How did you prepare for that role of being a dinosaur?
I literally walk in and they say, how are you going to do it? And I do the most ridiculous voice and they go, great, that's brilliant. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
I did have to audition, which was really painful though.
Did you?
Yeah, I've had some horrendous auditions.
Well, I've had horrendous auditions to be in things that you're in that I didn't get in.
Oh, really? What? Yeah.
Tell me about yours first.
Oh, no, I had to do a commercial audition once where, I can't believe I'm telling you this, where I had to, it was for bacon, and I had to, they said, right, what we want you to do is we want you to be pedalling furiously, and then you smell the bacon, and then you just like pedal even more furiously to get to this bacon sandwich. I was like, yeah, okay, I'll do that, because I have no shame. And they brought in this, the ricketiest exercise bike that was made out of paper and pencils. And then they made me wear a false nose, like a big Serrano nose. And there were about eight creatives and it was supposed to be funny. And they just sat there like that for the whole thing.
They made you audition.
And the bike, I fell off the bike.
Bobby, you did a Bobby Davro.
I fell off the bike and then I just walked out. And then I've had to do raps, like, you know, unprepared rap songs in front of people. And they've...
Only Bobby Davro had had a big Serrano de Baggio nose. He'd have been all right.
Yeah.
So he would have landed on the nose.
But yeah, I leave my shame at the door. I still.
I auditioned for Sherlock.
Which part? Was it mine? Was it Mary?
It wasn't Mary. I auditioned, quite a big deal, for the part of Indignant Man. Hang around with him? Did you get it? Was Ben Abel got the part.
I love Ben Abel.
He always, you know him.
Ben Abel's brilliant.
It was like it was down in Richmond. I got the wrong tube. I turned up. I was very indignant because
Can you remember any lines you had to say?
I didn't
have any lines.
It was a line, but I don't think. But like when I saw it on the actual thing, it was literally. It's when Sherlock's in traffic. And he's having some kind of hallucination, I think. So
right,
it's all
again.
Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And this bloke goes, he says the line, but it's basically silent.
Yeah. And you didn't even get that?
I didn't get that.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
And just the thing, I could have been, I auditioned for that.
Yeah, and so B, went, then you didn't
then
even
didn't get it.
Wow.
So you can't tell me. And I auditioned for, I don't know if this ever happened, there was, I think Will Smith wrote a thing about celebrity chefs, and you were getting divorced.
The Fresh Prince?
No, Will Smith, the English Will Smith. I think it was written by Will Smith. It was a thing about celebrity chefs, and they were married, and then the male, they sort of got divorced, but they were still having to work together on the internet. Did you do this?
No.
Well,
the little thing.
It was a little internet thing,
where you pick it, and there were like four that you pick, and...
I don't know if it was that.
Yeah, basically, they're called, what they call blaps.
Oh, yeah, it might have been a blap, yeah.
And you film, like, they're basically pitches.
Well, I didn't get it, so, you know...
No, but who were you up for?
I was up for the celebrity...
Oh,
I was up for the main husband.
Yeah.
A good part.
Tom Goodman Hill got that.
Yeah, well, I guess I tell you, he gets all my stuff.
Go on.
Nick Frost is... if I get a part, I know Nick Frost has turned it down.
I can see that, though.
Yeah.
You know, similar vein.
Yeah. And you were with Nick Frost in one of my favourite shows that I watched. I watched it all the time. It was on...
Man Straight Woman?
Yeah, Man Straight Woman.
Did you?
It was on TV all the time. I watched it all the time.
Oh, not all the time.
All the time. I would just record it and watch it all the time. Well, it was on like quite late at night, was it? Or it feels like it was, or maybe it was repeated.
It was about 10 o'clock,
I'd get through back from a hard night out at 10 o'clock and I'd watch.
Kick back with some
Can you
Man
remember
Straight
all
Woman?
The people who were in Man Straight Woman?
There was Nick Frost, Nick Burns, Ben Crompton, Daisy Haggard, me, and
Meredith. I know.
Meredith.
What's her last name?
Give me the initial.
I don't know.
Meredith McNeil.
Meredith McNeil. What happened to her? Because she was...
She's now doing a sketch show in Canada with lots of other brilliant women, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's really funny. It's really good. She's very
Everyone's
funny.
Gone on pretty well from Man Straight
Woman. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Then, what was your favourite sketch in Man Straight Woman?
It was one that I wasn't in. It was when Nick Burns and Nick Frost were testing out mobile phones, but they were doing it like spaceships. So they're going...
Don't remember that one. It was a good show.
What was your favourite sketch?
My favourite sketch was... Can't remember anything in it.
Wow.
There was one about you were a makeup...
When we were just being really horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was fun.
I was just watching it going, fucking Nick Frost.
I was pregnant with my son when I did that.
Were you?
Yeah. He was in my tummy.
Well, it's interesting looking through your eye... Because I watched... A lot now. I've gotten obsessed with Netflix. I'll go back and watch things I didn't watch in the 1990s and 2000s. Yeah. And I saw an episode of Coupling that you were in.
Oh God! I mean, what's?
And I kind of thought, God, that might be the first time Amanda was on TV.
No,
but you've been going for ages.
I've been going for decades. Going for ages.
You had
I'm 86.
It's incredible. But it was the last series of Coupling, and that bloke had to take over from the funny
Richard
bloke.
Milan.
Was he the one who took over?
Who took over from the other...
Yeah, the funny guy in Coupling.
What's his name?
He was funny.
No, I can't remember his name.
It was quite difficult.
People will listen to this.
They will. But it was quite difficult. It was his first episode he was in, and it was quite weird because they didn't really explain they were changing over.
No, they just dropped him in and then went, bye, see ya.
It was cruel, yeah. I thought it was cruel. But you were very good.
I just played woman at bar.
Yeah.
Some of my
You've played, you've been on The Bill. I'm going to test you. This is just
so many times.
You've been on The Bill. I've got to get the number. Five characters. Can you name all five characters?
I can't name one of them. Can't name one of them.
I can tell you
Maybe
all of them.
Girl with father.
No. First time, Rachel Innes.
Means nothing.
Second time, Laura Denny. Isn't that a famous
Means
actress?
Nothing.
Sarah Hall.
No, that's Laura Linney.
Oh, yeah. Lady car driver.
Yep.
Do you remember that one?
I'd never played a lady car driver in The Bill, so that's a lie.
Is it? That's on IMDb. Kirsty Tate.
Kirsty Tate. Nope.
That's I
couldn't even tell you what I did in it.
Really?
Nope. I think I abducted one of the... I played a forensic... God, I hate my life. I played a forensic officer... Who got obsessed with the one like the chief sergeant who was this lovely girl in it who was in Hangmen. Doesn't mean anything. And then so I abducted her because I fell in love with her and tried to kill her.
Wow.
It's all feasible.
You were the forensic scientist.
And I was a forensic scientist and we were working on the same case and she spurned me.
That's unprofessional.
So I took her to a disused power plant and with a gun.
Is this The Bill?
Yeah.
I didn't remember it being like this.
Over four episodes.
Was it?
Yeah. It wasn't just one. It was they
Which character
it out.
Was that? Was that Rachel Innes, Laura Denny?
I don't know.
Lady Car Driver,
wasn't
I reckon.
Lady Car Driver.
It was just her name, Lady Car Driver. She was very posh.
just ambiguous.
Lady Car Driver.
Lady Car Driver.
Minnie Driver and Jimmy Carr got like married that. And... got promoted to the aristocracy.
I don't know. I blocked The Bill.
Oh.
Blanked the
All right, then I'm very excited about this. I'm taking all the main roles you've done.
Go on.
You've worked with Nicholas Lyndhurst.
Fuck.
Who I love, because I hate him as well.
Why do you hate him? He really likes you.
Well, I love him. He's a national treasure, but he's in Goodnight Sweetheart, which I'm slightly obsessed with.
Genuinely?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, genuinely slightly obsessed with, in a way that I love it and hate it.
Why do you hate it?
Because it's a...
Because it doesn't make any sense.
It's a terrible misuse of time travel. And it's very inconsistent in...
Would you not go back to the Second World War? I'd love to go back to the Second World War.
I'd go back to the Second World War and then I would look beyond the first pub I saw. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
I'd go to the second pub and just check that barmaid wasn't slightly better. I mean, it's Dervah Kerwin. It was a good bet, but then she changed in series 4, and then his future wife was hotter. So,
and why do you love it?
Because I love time travel. I think it's a great idea. I think it could be. I think if you remade it in a slightly grittier, less sitcom way, I think it could be a very good.
Do it then. Do it.
I'm going. I tried. I met it's Morris Grant. I want to do, and I apologise to everyone else who's heard this. I want to do Good Night, Sweetheart, in which I play a writer in the 21st century who's obsessed with Good Night, Sweetheart and doesn't go out and is annoyed that it's on the TV.
Yeah.
Then he finds a passage back to the set of Good Night, Sweetheart, and then he just takes all his DVDs and writes them, and then he writes all of Good Night, Sweetheart. And then hilarity ensues. It's a bit like Goodnight Sweetheart, but it's about going back to the set of Goodnight Sweetheart.
Can I be in it?
Yeah.
Thanks.
You could definitely be in it. I'd love
can
to.
Can I be Dervla Kerwin?
I think you could be.
Sure.
Can you do an Irish accent? This is my. I'll do Dervla Kerwin first, and then you.
No, I can't.
I can. Hello! I'm Dervla Kerwin. I'm not sure how I say my own name. And I'm from. Yeah, I have to say. Where
I mean,
I'm
this
from,
is all good stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's great.
That's why I did the audition for that chef thing, and then just never heard from them again. And
I'm so surprised.
And the indignant man. I said, "Can I make him Irish?"
Why not?
And they said, "Can you?" I said, "Let's give it a
because
few goes."
Because this is perfect. What I'm doing. My boyfriend's in the audience. He's from Belfast.
Is he? So
he'll
love
be,
that.
He'll be kicking
Belfast
your ass
is
off
a very
this.
Different.
Don't do it.
Hey,
don't do it. Don't do it.
And I'm annoyed. And
look at the little leg, though. You're doing the little leg.
That's what they do.
You're doing
wearing bowler hats.
It's the mythical Irish leg.
I would definitely be an Orangeman if I was. That's my side.
Ooh.
Because I like orange.
And bowler hats.
I was born on the 12th of July. There's a song about it. And I love marching in places that I'm not welcome. If they want to take me on,
I'd love
if some people think it's rude. They tend to throw stuff at you.
Yeah.
good. And well, was Nicholas Lyndhurst like to work with? Was he nice?
He's very nice.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. And I worked with Celia Imrie on it as well, who's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But was... Nick did this. Used to do this amazing thing that used to really make me laugh. That whenever he'd start, he won't mind me saying it, but whenever he'd start a rehearsal, like. He'd rehearse a scene, they go, right, and action, and he'd go, as the door, like making like a door open. And I was like, that's amazing. That's how he starts shit. You know, he just goes, and walks off.
That's
and,
why I want to work with the Lyndhurst.
I mean, I reckon he learned that from David Jason. I reckon that's like old school.
Fast down. Yeah. And you worked with Sam Pancakes West on Mr. Selfridge.
Yeah, why are you calling him that?
Did he not offer you pancakes?
Never. He made me some chili jam.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. He grows his own chilies. But we're not here to talk about him.
We are. I'm going to tell you why he's called Sam Pancakes West.
Because he makes pancakes.
Well, Stuart Lee, we were at university with Sam West. And when we'd left university, Stuart Lee bumped into Sam West in the Angel Islington.
Where
and,
he lives.
And Sam went, oh, don't tell everyone.
I'll give you the address. We can all go around for pancakes.
Sam West said, Stuart, it was pancake day. She said, Stuart, come, we're having pancakes. You must have pancakes. So I call him Sam Pancakes West.
Oh, that's a lovely story.
Stu didn't go and have pancakes. I would definitely have gone. Out. Would you have pancakes with Sam West if he offered? Do you know who Sam
you
West
would.
Is? Did you know Prunella Scales and Timothy West? He came out first out of Timothy West's testicles, which would be enough for most people, but then, no, I'm going to go into Prunella Scales, ovaries, and I'm going to make a human being. That's him. That's a skill.
He's basically their son.
Yeah.
I worked with Timothy West in a film recently.
Did you?
He's a lovely man.
He is nice. I worked with him on a read-through of a film. That's all. Well, it got made in the end, but he didn't do
what
he
didn't
want to do it. It was You Can Choose Your Friends. It turned out to be, and it was the last time I was on TV in 2007.
Wow.
Then I started doing this.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Not as good, is it? It's being in
no,
Sherlock.
No, I love it.
So,
it's great.
I'd love to be in Sherlock, but is there going to be
it's never going to happen again.
More episodes of Sherlock?
No, it might. I said that I was very, that was really mad, wasn't it, saying that? That was like, you know, when people say, what's the first word that comes into your head?
Yeah.
That was like that.
Well, it's not how your character is
no
longer.
You always come back.
Alert.
I mean, you know, Moriarty died and he's back.
They can't keep doing that.
No, I know.
They can't keep
Wouldn't want to come back.
Wouldn't you?
No. Because it was shit. No, because, well, you know, if you think, no, we've done her now. She's done. Let's just put her to bed properly. And
I mean, that's obviously a massive show to be on.
Yeah, and it did change a lot for me, that. And it was, it was very divisive, that character.
Yeah.
You know, I got a lot of hate and I got a lot of love. So
did
it was
you
quite
both
nice.
Tried to kill Sherlock Holmes and saved his life? Is that
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. When I sort of killed him, and I still don't really understand why I did that. Now I can say that. I still don't really understand why I shot him. Why I just didn't nick off and, you know, hide. But people got very cross about it and they thought
I blamed you.
Blamed me personally, yeah.
And the indignant man got quite a lot of smack for it as well.
He was slated. Slated on Twitter.
Now, I want to do, because Tim from The Office is in Sherlock.
Sure. Who's
well,
that?
The actor who plays him, I don't know his name.
Yeah.
I'm trying to recreate everything that Tim, the actor who plays Tim from The Office is in. So, The Hobbit.
Sure.
And Lord of the Rings. Sherlock Holmes, but he has to play Tim from The Office in it. It's scene for scene the same as Sherlock, except Elementary, my dear Tim from The Office.
And then a light.
And then he looks at the camera.
Yeah.
And goes, and would you be prepared to come back and make that series if...
No.
No.
Absolutely not, no.
It would be
a terrible idea.
We'll just use the footage from the first
time. Yeah, just use the footage from the first time. That's it, yeah. Basically, that's all you need to do.
Be nice to reshoot it.
No. Come on.
No, you're no fun.
No, I know.
I want Stephen Moffat, who wrote Sherlock, the series, and Doctor Who.
And Mark Gatiss,
Well, I didn't do this with Don. I'm talking about Stephen Moffat. At one of the BBC Christmas parties, this might be why I don't work at the BBC anymore, I tried to climb the gigantic Christmas tree that they had in the party. Well, it was in the big studio where they had the thing. And Stephen Moffat crawled up behind it. We were climbing along a little hedge. And he was crawling along as well.
Was he?
But I never worked again. But Stephen Moffat, they seem to forget Stephen Moffat was involved in that.
I wonder why that is. Why is that?
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know
why. Did you go first?
I went first.
They
it was
probably
my
thought
fault.
You were leading him on.
Yeah. Stephen Moffat went in and said, I'm really sorry.
Yeah, you can made write, Stephen Moffat
can
do
I,
it.
Can I write
That's
Doctor
what you did.
Who? I'm going to ask you an emergency question. It's going to be random.
Okay.
Are
these just questions?
They are.
Can
it's
I have
crazy,
one? Can
it's
I a, have one of these?
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, you can
free have though. I don't want to pay for it.
I'll give you what I paid for it.
What did you pay for it?
Like
75.
I paid £6.98.
No, seriously, I don't want to pay. I'll have one, but you should give me one.
I
really.
Will give you one.
Okay.
The best offer I've had on this podcast. So it's. Those are the kids. I won't ask you a kid one.
No, you can do that.
I'll ask
I
one for
care.
This is a job for an interview. So these are questions that are difficult. Because I think it'd be fun to do an interview. I never interviewed anyone really properly, like in an interview. I've auditioned people. I've not interviewed people. But it'd be fun to dick around with them because you have to try and answer the questions, don't they?
Okay.
How many spoons do you think there are in Cairo?
I've been to Cairo.
Have you?
Yeah.
Was it a spoon? They have spoons?
I've used quite a few spoons in Cairo.
Yeah.
I'd say upward and including 17,000.
Wow, I think there's more than that.
No.
What were you doing in Cairo? See, that's where these questions come into their own.
I was looking at pyramids.
Okay, it was a holiday.
Yeah.
Or were you working?
I hated it.
Did you?
Yeah. No, I didn't
hate it. You hated the pyramids?
No, I love the pyramids, but once you've seen them, it's like, you know, all right. They're big and triangular. Because there's nothing there. When you go to Giza, where they are, it's quite far out from Cairo.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that, yeah, so you go out of your hotel and you walk, and lots of people tried to sell me carpets and tried to get me into cars to go to their house to buy perfume. And I was like, no, I don't. And then you come to these three big pyramids, and that's it.
So
you go, wow.
On TripAdvisor, how many stars would you give the pyramids?
The pyramids I give, you know, because they're big and they're impressive, but there's nothing else to do in Giza.
What would you give them?
Out of 10?
Well, 5 stars. Out of 5 stars.
I give them 4.
4 stars for the...
Just the pyramids, but you need you'd like a Westfield there, perhaps.
Yeah.
So you can pop in, you know.
Did you go inside any of the pyramids? I've never been to the pyramids.
Some dude became my guide and took me down into this little pyramid. And and started like scrabbling around and pulled out these kind of little kind of Anubis-y things. And I don't know whether he'd put them there to kind
of... He definitely had put them there.
Do you think that? I like to think that they were there and they're thousands of years old.
You can think that, but he'd put them in there.
But I took them home and my mum said, you must get rid of them immediately because that's bad luck.
Yeah.
She said, you'll end up like that dude that took Tutankhamun's shit.
And what, the Howard Carter?
Yeah.
Who died about 25 years after he had discovered of old age.
But he had a... Yeah. No, but did he, though? Because he got bitten by... Didn't he get bitten by something?
Yeah, he got bitten by a... he got bitten by a Tutankhamun in there.
But no, what, there was something weird about it. Don't try and make it all normal. It was
like, I think
really
like
weird.
A bloke stubbed his toe and then went, that is the curse of Tutankhamun.
Ask me some more questions. I like this.
Okay, it's good. Well, I was glad
but
to
don't
get...
do any more about Cairo because we've done that.
Okay. They're mainly about Cairo.
No, not Cairo in all based. The book they're not. That's like, you've got a lot of chapters in there that aren't Egyptian orientated, okay. So don't give me that shit.
What is the most inexplicable thing you have seen in the sky?
Oh, don't, because I love UFOs and I really believe they exist.
Do you?
Yeah, and I think I've seen about 20.
What have you seen?
Aeroplanes.
It can be confusing in the dark.
Yeah.
You can't see them.
It's really
cool. Do you think aliens have visited the planet Earth?
Oh, they're here.
Yeah, you think they are?
Yeah. I am like David Icke. No, they walk amongst us.
Yeah. Who do you think, if you think you've met an alien?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, my daughter's... My little 10-year-old's a little alien. Yeah, she's nuts.
It sort of is.
But no, I love the idea that... We can't be the only thing. We can't be the only... Can we? Can we,
I mean,
Richard?
We could potentially, but I think it's very unlikely, but how likely
but listen,
is it that something
so, but, you know, you've got the universe. This is what I never understood. It used to freak me out when I was a kid. You've got the universe, and then what's beyond the universe?
That's
and that's what really... Because it goes on, doesn't it?
It's a bit more universe.
But when does it stop? Is my question to you.
It's a bit more. There's a bit more. And you think, that's it. And then, no, there's another bit.
What's his name? Stephen Hawking.
That's got to be it now.
Said it was all like that.
It just goes round.
So what's on the outside of the thing that goes like that?
When you come back, you go around the outside.
Yeah,
that's
but
what happens.
What's on the outside?
Some more.
Well, there you go.
More universe. And then there's another one up above. When you get to the end of that, there's another one.
Exactly.
Slots in.
So I can't believe we're the only fuckers up there.
No, it's unlikely that there isn't other beings, but how likely is it that they visit the planet Earth? You know, tragically, we might be the height of this conversation, might be the height of everything in the universe. This might be it. People will look back and go, wow.
Yeah. This is like the highest philosophical conversation that they will have in the universe right now.
Is
that aliens?
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Yes.
Yes, good. I thought you might have.
No, I think they're a ghost. We think we've got one in our house.
Do you? Well, I thought I've got one in my ghost. I had...
It's just
I'll tell you a
shitting.
Long story about my dog who's been having diarrhoea.
Listen, my dog pisses everywhere and it really annoys me.
Yeah. My dog's usually quite good, so that's why
Mine's not. He's an idiot.
We made chicken for... We had Sunday lunch. We had some friends around. There was enough of the chickens were quite small, so I bought two chickens. I carved them all up. Our friends just arrived. You know, you have to get it all in. We left the carcasses in the kitchen.
You fool.
But we got two pets. We kept them out of the room.
Are they both dogs?
There's a dog and a cat.
Okay.
And then 3 hours later, after we had a couple of glasses of wine, I came back into the room.
Yeah.
And one of the chicken carcasses had gone.
Oh, this
just
is
disappeared.
Bad.
And there was no sign. There was loads of grease everywhere. And I thought if an animal had got there, we'd see the grease everywhere. There was no sign. I thought, maybe someone snuck into the house.
Yeah.
And just grabbed... Well, gross was... First of all, I thought that someone might come in and stolen the chicken.
Yeah.
Just, you know...
Just random. Like just a burger.
Just... I mean, it was a carcass. There's nothing left on it. I'm very good at carving. But it could be that. Or a serial killer could have crept into the house, taken the chicken, thought, I'll put that on my face for later when
and
I jump out.
And then go off murdering.
Or... One of the animals could have somehow got in there and got it.
Or
one of the kids could have gotten in and got it. But no one's covered in grease. Or a fox could have come in through the cat hole.
Yeah. These are all feasible.
A cat hole we have.
Cat flap.
And or a cat flap. And it was. And I was thinking it's a ghost, because I think our house is haunted. We've got I hear crying in our house. And when
that
when
could
our,
be anyone.
When our babies are asleep, though. You go in, the babies are asleep. And it's happened to me and my wife a lot, both. And it used to be a hospital, our house.
Did
it?
Yeah. Oh, look, they don't like
and
it.
And it's really old. It's from the 18th century, so it's a really old house. So I thought a ghost had done it. And then, you know, you think, like, if one of the animals has done it, there'd be some detritus. And
you've got everybody.
I took the dog
say?
For a walk, and I came back, and I thought, the dog was puked on that dog basket. I'll just check it. It's not. I'd washed it, but I'll check it's dry. And then I lifted it up, and there was a lemon and loads of garlic in there. And my wife, when I found it, said, "Are you sure you didn't get rid of it?" I said, "No, look, I'm fastidious. I would have put that. I was waiting to see if you want to make soup with it, and then I would have put it in the. I love the food bin so much. We've got a food bin. I love it. And I went through the whole food bin to just check it hadn't put it in there. She gaslighted me,
yeah.
And said, "You, the thing is with you, you wow. forget about stuff and you move in there." She was trying to say I was mental.
Yeah.
And then she'd let the dog into the kitchen for an hour and left it.
That'll
she
do.
Forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
And the dog had eaten the whole fucking...
Oh, my God. Just left the garlic and the...
Hidden under its blanket.
Yeah. I care not for lemon.
Garlic and a lemon. So that
too
one was...
Too pungent.
I reckon it was the dog.
It was the dog. But did he eat the bones? Because that's really dangerous.
I know. Well, then now we had all that to worry about. And also, she had diarrhea, so...
Yes,
you know, we tried not to feed her, and then she ate a chicken.
There's something you're supposed to give dogs to cushion it, and I can't remember. It's not marshmallows.
It's loads of eggs.
Is it eggs?
No.
It's scrambled egg. No, it might be scrambled. It might be something might like be. Because you're supposed to give them that because then it
then a chicken
bones.
Will grow inside the
and then which
in,
came
inside
first,
the bones
and then it's another huge it philosophical debate.
I think she's okay. We woke. I was slightly nervous about it, and yeah. I took her out at night, and she was okay.
My dog. Right, can I just tell you, Arthur? Yeah. We've got a dog who's a complete twat. I mean, he's basically an insane dog. And he, I think about a year ago, maybe, he ate a whole bar of dark chocolate. Now, dark chocolate is lethal for dogs. It kills them. It just kills them instantly. And you're supposed to give them hydrogen peroxide to get it out. And I realised that, and he had it all around his mouth. And I rang the vet and I said, listen, my dog's eaten a whole bar of very, very dark chocolate. I don't know what to do. He said, well, look, monitor him because this is really bad. We're really worried about you. If he starts to look like, you know, go all limp and ridiculous, then bring him in. And he perked up. He became more lively than I've ever seen him in my entire life.
Yeah.
And I rang the doctor, the vet back and said, look, he's running around the garden like he's on caffeine. And they said, well, that shouldn't be happening. He should technically be dead. And, and it made him a better dog. And I couldn't really understand why. But he was just the vet going, yeah, no, he should be dead.
Yeah.
And he'd eaten this whole bar of chocolate. And then he was looking at me going, I can eat some more. I could have some. Have you got any more? I can have some. He's a twat. And I hate him because he should have died.
Yeah. No,
no, you wouldn't. You would hate him. You would hate him. He's annoying. He pisses everywhere and looks at you while he's doing it. He goes like that. Watch, look, see? I could go out. The door's open. But look, I'm pissing on your floor because I've got a cute face. He's a twat. And I wish I'd never rescued him from that puppy farm.
I my dog's been shitting all over the kitchen floor, and you know, I thought, well, if the chicken kills it,
but you do, you
the
oh,
then I've got
then.
To get rid of the body. Off,
yeah,
I've got to keep it alive. Bury it. I've got a small garden, and then there would just be a dead dog in my garden,
and then the fox will dig it up and bring it back in.
Exactly,
it's a whole dog fox dilemma.
So you're saying chocolate's good for dogs? Is what
give
you
your dog that's chocolate? Yeah, saying. Chocolate and chicken bones.
Do you think that's like sort of Spider-Man of dogs?
Yeah,
chocolate dog.
It's the kryptonite.
Chocolate. Is it a Labrador? Because that would really work. Then we can pitch this.
Answer.
I'm glad you got it. No one else did.
No, I liked it.
Question 260. If you're following at home, Marmite. Do you love it or hate it?
I love
or
it.
Do you not mind it? Hold on, finish the question.
Oh.
Or have you never tried it? In which case, shall we go and buy some and you can try it? Okay, got some now. Taste it. Do you love it or hate it? Or are you ambivalent? Or somewhere on a sliding scale between those points? If so, quantify that as a percentage where hate is 0% and love is 100%. Thanks.
What?
We got
don't repeat it.
I'm 100% on Marmite.
So
I'm 100%.
Now, have you tried Marmite and peanut butter on toast?
Don't be crazy.
Do it! It's the best thing that'll ever happen to you.
I'm going to try that when I get home.
It's really good.
Any particular kind of peanut butter?
Crunchy.
Yeah.
Let's say.
I like crunchy.
Sure.
My daughter doesn't like crunchy.
Don't do smooth, actually, because it doesn't help. Because you want a little bit of texture with the Marmite's really smooth.
I'm going to ask you some sex robot based questions.
I was hoping this would happen.
Okay.
I did ask you.
Do
you
consider it to be cheating if your partner, say, were to have sex with a sex robot? Is that cheating or is that okay?
Oh, that's a tricky
if
one.
If it's very human looking, you know, the
yeah, I don't humans. Like those human looking robots.
I like
don't
them.
Like them. I don't like, yeah, no, I right.
particularly like the Gemma Chan one.
Yeah, that's an actual person.
Well, is it?
Yeah.
On my 50th birthday, my wife took me to the Science Museum where there is a robot of Gemma Chan being a robot.
Oh,
and it was the best thing that's ever happened. And coincidentally, Janet Ellis was queuing up to go into the Science Museum to do some recording at the same time. It's like my wife had just planned
my
perfect sexual fantasy. I thought, this is the best wife ever. I mean, wow. You're only 50 once, but
she
Janet
knew.
Ellis...
And a robotic...
And a robot of Gemma Chan.
Yeah. I don't like those robots.
Okay. If they were like just looked exact, if there was a robot that looked exactly like, I don't know who would you ideally like to have sex with and cheat on your any partner you have with?
I don't know. I don't.
Are you sort of happy in your relationship and don't want to cheat on?
You should be happy. Yeah, that is. Yeah. I mean,
you should be. But if you could, if there is there someone if you could, but if they weren't, no. Then they were a robot.
I'm very...
So, example, Gemma Chan for me.
I don't fancy Gemma Chan.
No.
You clearly do.
That's my one. That's my
one.
Yeah,
but I don't like those robots. I think they're really weird. And they are the beginning of the end. And I would never have sex with a robot.
But if your partner had sex with a robot...
We'd have to discuss it.
Okay. I just think it would be okay.
But then that's fine. You have sex with a robot.
I would like to. My wife won't let me.
I will sit... We'll sit here and watch. There we go.
All right, here's another sex robot question. There's a few. If there,
why have you got sex robot section?
Because there's not a section that just dotted throughout.
How many sex robot questions have we got? Just
you have
so
to
I know.
Buy the book to find out, kids. If there are ever sex robots, as any right-thinking person hopes, would they be self-cleaning?
I fucking hope so.
Or would there be another small robot that would clean the sex robot?
Oh.
Or would there be a person whose job was to clean out the sex robot before the next person used it?
Is this your diary?
In some way. Can you think of a worse job than being this? If
you
got that job...
No, I can't. Actually. No,
why'd
I
you go to audition to be that guy and not getting it? Imagine
how
bad that is.
I'm here to clean a sex robot. Thanks.
You're not.
I'll give you my monologue.
Put on this nose.
No, I think they should self-clean, clearly.
So.
Yeah.
But how? I mean, with what?
Well, there should be like a brush that goes in, that comes out and goes... like a car wash.
Yeah. Where does the...
Think of it like a car wash.
Where does the effluent go?
If you'd have asked me this back then, I could have time to think about it and formulate an answer.
I don't want you to have time to think about
it. Okay. They should be self-cleaning, there should be some rotary mechanism, and there should be a tube that comes out that gets rid of the detritus.
What if that goes off while you're having sex with it, though?
I don't give a shit.
I don't like this. There's a malfunction, and there's a rotary thing, and I would feel unsafe.
Richard, you've thought about this far too much. I'm really
just
worried.
Just would be worried about that. It's harmless.
Is it, though?
It's just a sex toy. It's just a very efficient sex toy.
Yeah.
It's fine.
A lifelike sex
it's
toy.
Very, well, it's quite lifelike.
Yeah, with a motorised washing facility. Self-cleaning.
That's what it is, yeah.
You pervert.
That's the basic idea. So... Yes, okay.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
You've played a lot of police officers recently.
Sure, go on. Why? Go on.
What's that about?
I look very authoritative.
You do look authoritative. So you've worked with Dexter, from the Dexter.
Dexter. From, oh, Dexter, I see. Michael C. Hall.
I like to think.
I thought you meant Dexter Fletcher. I was like, no.
I like to think of people as their characters mainly. That's how I get through my life.
Yeah, no, you should know Gemma Chan's character in Humans.
Gemma Chan is in. Death in Paradise. I was very excited to find that. I was watching that on Netflix as well. I tried to watch the whole Death of Paradise. Have you been in Death in Paradise?
No.
That's because you've been in everything. Have you been offered Death in Paradise?
No.
Because everyone's been on Death in Paradise.
All right.
Everyone. Literally everyone.
I haven't.
And I tried to watch the whole thing from start to finish on Netflix. And to be honest, I'm in series five.
I've had enough.
I've had enough.
You're I'm exhausted.
Fed up it's fucking the, yeah. shit. I'm going to call it. It took me four series.
Four series. And how
went,
many
hold
episodes?
On. This is just shit.
How many episodes are there?
Loads. I mean, just billions.
Christ. Okay.
And I like, there's the bloke from...
Chris Marshall's in it, isn't he?
Chris Marshall from Love Actually goes to America and has sex with whores. That's that guy. He's in it. he's very good.
Yeah.
But like they keep changing all the people in it.
You don't like
and
that,
and it
do
gets
you?
To the extent that you go,
where the hell am I
yeah,
now?
Yeah, well, I just want to go back to the original.
Yeah. But was it Ben, what's his name?
Ben Miller's in it. The only good thing about Death in Paradise, spoiler alert, which I think I've already done once, he gets murdered at the beginning of series three. It's fucking
These
brilliant.
These people have got taste.
It's brilliant. He gets actually he's the victim in the, at the start. So he comes back for series three, and then he's the victim. That's fucking brilliant. Well done. Well done, Death in Paradise.
Well done.
It's a coup de
théâtre.
Well
done with your complicated storylines.
Very good. So you had to kiss Michael, what's his, Dexter?
C. Hall. Yeah.
Michael Dexter face.
Just call him Michael.
Michael C. Hall. Michael C. Hall.
Or you can call him Dexter. I don't mind.
I'm going to call him
whatever
Dexter.
You want.
What's he like in real life? Is he nice or is he a
twat? No, he's lovely. No, he's really nice. I can't do that for much because, yeah, he's a lovely guy. He's very easy and... he does no entourage and he comes on set with his little dog called Sal and he's very easy and that's what you want. I've worked with some howlers who are notoriously difficult and twattish and idiotic and but he's not. He's
what
very...
kind of thing? I don't want you to name them. I do, but don't.
Well, just not knowing their lines and then not knowing your name for
that's
4 years.
Like. That's what I'd be. I'd be calling you all the characters you've been. I'd be calling you Rachel Edens.
What was that in?
That's in the bill. You were Rachel Edens in the bill.
I can't remember.
I would be calling you Rachel Edens every time I go, Rachel Edens.
I don't
from
know.
From the bill.
But I wouldn't answer because I don't remember that.
And then I'd just shout it in your face. I go, Rachel Edens from the bill. Why are you ignoring me?
And then I'd be like, go away. And then we'd have a whole dialogue.
You had to kiss Michael C. Hall from Dexter.
Yes.
How was that?
It's all right. It's a job, isn't it?
Is it,
you don't get
it,
emotionally involved with stuff like that. You've got like 20 people watching you, like with booms.
That's what gets me off.
Does it?
Yeah. The only thing would be better if it's a robot of Michael C. Hall.
He is a robot.
He is.
He is. So, you're laughing. You're halfway there. Yeah, it was fine.
But it's an amazing career because you've been like in so many things apart from Death in Paradise, and I would like to rectify that in the next.
Well, I can't.
I'm sure it's going to carry
on. I basically said it was shit. So
I said that. You said it was.
No, and then I said these people have got taste, so that's why they haven't seen it.
Yes, that's why they're not.
So they won't.
I would love to be in Death in Paradise. Because fuck, you get to go to the West Indies.
Where do they go?
They go to the West Indies.
The Isle of Dogs.
It's drinking beer. The whole job is just sitting drinking beer in a lovely bar. It looks marvellous.
Wow.
So I'm hoping.
Will they be making any more? Because we could put in a word for you.
Yeah, could you do that?
I can't, because I don't know anyone in it. But
Is anyone from Death in Paradise in the room?
Is there anyone
anyone work on Death in Paradise? All right, if anyone's listening who works on Death in Paradise...
Can we get Richard in it?
Can I be in it? I want to be the murderer, though, ideally. And
series six was shit.
I did it.
You didn't like the last series?
I got fed up. Well, there was one with Keith Allen in it, and that turned me off the whole thing. And then it's just always the same... The same thing happens every week.
Well, it's on an island, isn't it?
There's a lot of people murdered on there, and then
it's the title.
The
Death
bloke
in
from
Paradise.
Love Actually just goes, I'll go out and drop some stuff and then solves it.
Yeah.
I want more. I need more.
It's a bit like Midsummer Murders, isn't it?
It is, but it's much nicer because it's in the West Indies. It's in the West Indies. So I'd love to be on it if anyone's watching.
We'll sort that out. I won't, but someone might.
Has that ever worked? Have you ever been on something and go, I'd love to be on this
thing?
Because the audition thing's not working out for me.
Not working out for me either.
Is it not?
No, not really.
You don't audition
anymore. I audition all the time, yeah. No. And I get rejected. I do, but that's part of being an actor. It's fine.
It's a tough job though, right?
It is, yeah. You have to have a really tough exterior and you have to not take rejection personally because it's not personal. It's just, it can be anything. It can be such an arbitrary reason why you don't get a job. So, it doesn't...
It really is. I've been on both sides. I don't know. Have you directed stuff? Have you...
No, but I really want to. I've been sort of, talking to my agent about wanting to do something directing-wise, and I've got a friend who's written a really weird film, very short film, and he wants me to direct it. So it's something that is not impossible. I really like the idea of being that side of the camera now.
Yeah, when you do the auditions, I've done more auditions than I've done auditions. I've been the choosing more than I've been chosen. It is so arbitrary, and it's so like, A, it's about who works together.
Yeah, and it's about how you look with somebody else.
And B, you sometimes get two people who are both really good, and you go, there's three people in the room, two of you go for one, and one of you goes for the other. That's what you sort of think when you get that moment. If it's a massive part, then that could be the difference between you having a career and not having a career.
Absolutely, yeah. It can be down to the stupidest
thing.
Horrible
job it is to be an actor.
It's a terrible job, yeah. You should feel very sorry for it.
I don't, because I've looked through IMDb and you've just constantly worked.
I haven't constantly
worked. You've constantly worked.
I haven't.
And you've been in every single thing.
Apart from Death in Paradise.
Apart from Death in Paradise.
And Midsummer Murders. I've never done a Midsummer Murders.
You've not done Midsummer Murders?
No.
But you've done the bill five times.
I've done the bill, so it kind of counteracts that. It negates that. It's fine.
So you've been banned from Twitter. Let's talk about your Twitter ban. You've just come off your Twitter ban.
My ban was lifted today.
Was it?
6 days.
Because Donald Trump's still on it.
What a cock.
And you've done something worse than... You've done something
no,
worse
I didn't much. Do anything worse. I still stand by what I said. The first time I got banned was for 48 hours. And then the second time was 6 days.
And what did you do?
Because I don't like trophy hunters, and I don't like any kind of cruelty to animals, because I think they need a voice, and we are their voice, and we are abusing our planet, and we're abusing, animals into extinction. And when you see complete idiots hunting endangered lions and elephants, and it makes my blood boil. So I was very vocal about these three idiots that shot an elephant. And I said they probably should die because they're not really contributing. So I didn't say they should. I said they probably will die. That's what I said, or something like that. I didn't say die. I said maybe they should at some point die.
I think they will.
But that's like a fact because they will. They're not immortal.
Twitter can't ban you for just basic.
But somebody
that's
got
not your
laughing.
Fault that people die.
No, well, exactly. And I said they contribute nothing to society. They don't. They're killing elephants for no reason because they just want to prove they have a penis or whatever. And it's ridiculous. And you just think look at you. There is a family of elephants, and you're going to shoot one because you want to feel good about yourself. And I don't understand it. I genuinely don't.
I agree with you, clearly. I don't understand why Twitter picked up out of all the things that they don't pick on.
Well, I mean, Casey Hopkins said some vile things today. Hideous things about, what's been going on in America. And you don't see her getting banned.
I didn't know you could be banned. Like, I'm
6 days, that's quite a long time. I reckon the next time will be permanent. So I'll have to do an alter ego and come back as Donald Trump.
6 days.
And it really hurt me because there were some things I really wanted to say. I was getting really... That thing with the umbrella. What a dick. Put it down. You couldn't put an umbrella down. Oh, just leave it. He walks up steps and he looks like such a buffoon with that umbrella, and then he just leaves it. There's a brilliant thing that somebody's done. They've done the music to Up. Have you seen it? It goes and it's this very poetic kind of thing where he just leaves the umbrella and the umbrella just like drifts away, and then the big fat twat gets on his plane. I hate him.
Well, is there an appeals process when you get banned from Twitter?
No, you can't. I've got this lovely, my lovely group of girls on Twitter who follow me, and they're really lovely and loyal, and they try to do it a lot. There's some in the audience.
They're waving at you.
But it's all automated. You can't.
You've got to put your face on their face.
You can't do it. It's like, oh, there's no one to talk to.
Because they think you've threatened their
somebody,
made a death
obviously
threat.
Somebody got offended by what I said, and so once you're offended...
How have I never been banned from Twitter? I've said some appalling things
but
on
people
there.
Do. There's some horrendous things that people say, and I just, you know, it wasn't that bad. I thought it was quite funny as well.
Yeah.
But apparently, you know, somebody got offended.
Bloody people.
I'm just sticking up for the elephants. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah. They need someone to stick up for them. And they'd love that. They love Sherlock.
Elephants love me. And they never forget.
They don't. But you put... Well, last time you came, I was worried... You meant to come. You got stuck in traffic.
Seven hours.
But I was worried that day anyway, because at the beginning of that day, you'd put unleaded petrol in your diesel car.
I did, yeah. So I thought Not a lot.
Yeah.
But enough for my car to go, get off, and then seize up.
Right.
But I was thinking, I've fucked my car up now, but I hadn't, luckily.
It was like you were really trying not to get it.
It was like I didn't want to do it.
And this is like Final Destination, yeah, where you've been made to do it.
Now I have to, yeah. And I'm loving every second.
I'm sure you are. Would you like a drink of beer? You've got some vodka there.
What is this?
We've got beer 52
but this
beers.
Is like, this is like jet fuel, because you're hammered.
I am, it's great. I'm a great advert for
What's
it.
That?
That's a can of Pilsner lager.
I don't know what that means.
What's
Pilsner?
I feel like one of James O'Brien's calling people. It's Pilsner, but what is it? Lager. No. It's kind of a strong lager.
I'll stick to the vodka and just watch you drink.
We can get you another vodka if you would like.
Can
another.
You?
Yeah, I can arrange
can
that.
Can you do that?
Could we get another vodka and...
It's very dark at the back. Yeah, they've all gone home.
They might have done. This is a bit like the last show we did.
Oh.
They've stayed. These people will stay.
We can stay here for hours. They've all gone home.
No, they wouldn't go home. I'm going to try... Oh, it's this one.
You haven't finished that one yet.
I want to try a new one.
Lone Wolf.
Actually, this is my third one.
Lone Wolf.
Oh, no wonder if everything's going so
That's
well.
That's the one I'd have. Is it not going well?
No, it's going well. I'm saying I'm having a great time.
Good.
No wonder I'm having a great time, because I'm absolutely pissed.
Hammered.
In some ways, you have no idea
who you're talking to. You think I'm Amanda Holden?
In some ways. I need to tell you a story about Amanda Holden. I've decided against it, so I can't be that drunk.
Give him another one.
Give me. Let's have
Lock
a bit
the doors.
More and see. This one's called Smash Mosaic. I don't even remember this one being in
that
the...
That sounds like a
This one wasn't
like
in
a
the
band.
Box. Someone's come up and put this one on the stage.
That sounds like a prog rock band.
There's a big fist on it. Look at that.
Smash Mosaic. Their debut
Very
album.
Exciting. It's good. It's good stuff. Let me have a... Una Stubbs.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's a drink.
Look at that.
Look how quick that was. Round of applause for the drink. See, I'm like,
get
you know, these legends you're working with.
Una Stubbs. I worked with Julie McKenzie recently as well. You know Julie McKenzie?
Julie McKenzie was in my last thing I did. She played my mum.
What did you do?
So you could choose your friends from 2007.
Wow.
Yeah, Anton Rogers was my dad.
I love Anton Rogers. They did Fresh Fields together. Do you remember that?
Yes, they did.
We brought them back together.
Yeah, we brought them back together. And
no
then,
one in this audience will know what.
Then
we're
Anton Rogers died about 6 months later. It was like losing
did
my.
He die?
Yeah, he died. He died in 2007.
I loved Anton Rogers.
Yeah,
I say loved now because I've only just realised he died.
It was 11 years ago.
Is that
sorry to break it to you.
Una Stubbs is lovely.
Yeah. Did you play Give Us a Clue?
We played Give Us a Clue in Bristol in a big marquee while we were doing...
The wedding.
Yeah. And playing Give Us a Clue with Una Stubbs was probably one of the highlights of my career. Wasn't even on screen.
She was in Summer Holiday with Cliff Richard.
Oh, and she was an amazing dancer. There's some great footage of her like in a roll neck and like little kind of capri pants, just looking like just funking out on YouTube. And we used to show it to her. She goes, "Oh, don't show me that. Oh, stop it." But she's great.
I love
it's a
that.
Terrible impersonation.
You look really like her. I thought it was very good. I love that when you have that kind of leap through time by working with someone who's been working that long.
I loved, because also one of my things growing up, because I was an only child and I was bullied, so I was all on my own. There was not even an R. Thank you.
We went, whatever. I can understand
fuck
that.
It, I don't care. but I used to spend a lot of time on my own, and I used to watch Wurzel Gummidge a lot, and Aunt Sally was my real kind of Hero. I just used to love that show, and she was so good in it. And I was rewatching it the other day, and she's still really good in it. Her physicality and the way she's just a little legend, I think.
She is amazing.
She's great. But she's good friends with Julia McKenzie. They hang out together.
Do they?
Yeah, they get drunk in London.
Julia McKenzie, when we watched You Could Choose Your Friends. Because it's the last thing I did, and I keep bringing it up. We did a big screening of the You Could Choose Your Friends, and I was in it. I was kind of playing the
character. Were you in it?
I was like a character very like myself. And I was very nervous about being it because everyone was very, experienced. And Julia McKenzie, we watched it, and she came. The last thing she said to me, in fact, I haven't seen her since, she came and said, "Don't worry, when it's on TV, you can't see as much, it's much smaller." Basically told me you won't be able to see how shit an actor you are.
Don't worry, you probably won't be in it. You'll be fine. We won't notice you. No, yeah. She's lovely.
She's nice.
But she's just played the Queen Mum in a thing I've just done.
What's that?
Oh, that's what you should ask. It's a thing called... It's a Sue Townsend adaptation of The Queen and I.
Oh, yes.
And we filmed it up in Manchester for 4 weeks, and she plays the Queen Mum. I was going to say, guess which royal member of the royal family I play.
I can guess because you showed me a photo backstage.
Oh, yeah. I shouldn't have done that. That's ruined the game.
I think you played...
Prince Charles.
I think you played that new baby that's just come out of...
of the vagina of a royal person.
I think you played the baby of Meghan Markle that hasn't been born yet.
You could have played that part.
I could say they'd have liked that because I'd have been invisible and couldn't have overacted.
Quite childlike qualities. Yeah. No, I played Princess Anne.
Princess Anne.
And Samantha Bond plays the Queen. And Frankie Barber plays Princess Margaret. And it's fun.
Yeah. Is it? So it's the Sue Townsend.
Yeah. And it's a little Christmas.
Coming out this Christmas?
It'll probably be on Christmas Day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a
With
big
David
deal.
Williams playing the Prime Minister, and Johnny Vegas is playing one of the characters that lives on the housing estate. But it was fun, but it was hard. It was quite hard.
I mean, that's just basically the pitch of everything, isn't it? David Williams playing the Prime Minister, Johnny Vegas playing one of the characters on the housing estate.
Because if you don't know the book, he plays Spiggy, but that means nothing to people that haven't read the book.
We've all read it. We love Spiggy. I like Spuggy from Biker Grove.
Declan, what's his name?
No. He was Deck.
Oh, do they have their own names in it?
Yeah, and it was, no, it was, he was Duncan.
Duncan, who said that?
He was, there's some fans. PJ and Duncan.
PJ and Duncan. Yeah, what was that song they sang?
Let's get ready to rumble.
Are you related to one of them?
Now let's work the mic. Psych. They were on. I'm waiting for the return. Actually, we did do their show as well. Me and Stu were on Ant and Dec's Unzipped, and then Ant and Dec came on Fist of Fun and came out of the boxes at the beginning.
Oh.
Yeah. They've arguably done better as a double act.
Have they?
It's arguable.
One of them hasn't. That's true, though. One of them has. He's not. He's better now. But
He's still done better than me. I'm just drunk on my own. Yeah.
Just sitting and talking to random people.
Still done better. At least he's got drunk and been successful. At least he's got a lot of money.
Yeah.
Could take a year off.
Has he now, though? Because he's just got divorced. I'm just saying. Half. Go on, ask me some questions.
I won't ask you that one.
Is it
who or what is your favourite Jacob or Jacobs?
Marley and the Cracker. Wow. I can't decide between the two. The Christmas Carol is my favourite story.
Good.
Apart from 1984.
I feel sorry for Jacob Marley in the Christmas Carol, because where was his ghost to come and warn him about his terrible dissolute life?
I know.
And why does Scrooge get that little bonus?
Dickens
and Jacob
didn't think
Marley
that
doesn't?
Through, did he?
He's a cunt.
Dickens?
Yeah.
Wow. That's harsh.
Very unpleasant.
Do you hate Dickens?
I hate him for what he did to his wife.
What did he do to his wife?
Something bad, wasn't it?
Oh.
Something bad. He had sex with someone else. He had a fancy woman.
He was
in a train crash with her, right? Yeah.
Charles Dickens?
Charles Dickens was in a train crash with this fancy woman. And then nearly all got discovered in those days.
Is this all true, or are you making this up?
How could I make that up? There's a Charles Dickens expert in the second row. She's all the way through. She's going, "Yep, that's him. That's Charles Dickens. Old fucking
wow. Okay,
Charles
well,
died at his death. Charles Dickens, Mystery
of
Edwin Drood. Fucking what?
Wow.
Good job he died before that was finished. Am I
who
right?
Who was he shagging?
Yeah, see, look at that. Who was he shagging? Some old bint. Some old Victorian tart.
Some old Victorian whore.
I think an actress probably.
You probably look probably like an actress. I'm dressed like a Victorian. Nice. Prostitute tonight, I hope you realise.
Dickens could do better than you, darling. He could.
What are you saying? Yeah.
I thought I'd just been rude for no reason. He could not.
No. And the Jacob's Cracker, which is lovely with
Jacob's
bit,
Cracker is nice.
With a lovely bit
do you
of
like,
cheddar.
Which is your favourite adaptation of The Christmas Cow, and it has to be the Muppet one or you're wrong?
It's not. It's the Alec Guinness one with the music in it. Father Christmas, that one.
With Anton Rogers.
Yes, who dances on the coffin going, thank you very much.
Won an Oscar.
So good. Who did?
The song, I think.
Did it?
Yeah.
I love that. Have you not seen it? If you watch it this
thank
Christmas,
you, very much.
You will not regret it. It's one of the finest adaptations of A Christmas Carol. I loved it.
Not as good as The Muppet Christmas Carol.
It is, actually. Is that the one with Michael Caine in it?
Yep.
Well, no.
But Michael Caine now living up to being like Scrooge, isn't he? And get rid of the surplus population. Be good to have Brexit.
He really is, isn't he? Yeah. Beckham, I'm rich.
I'll ask you, I'm going to see if I can find my Christmas. Let me give me a sec.
Have you got a Christmas section?
I've got a Christmas section and I've got a specific
good,
Muppet
I,
Christmas Carol question.
I don't really know the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Well, this is a good question for people who do. You've got two kids, you never watched the Muppet Christmas Carol.
No, they watch Annabelle.
That is terrible child abuse. You two kids, come round to my house. I'm going to show you the video version. It's far superior.
They watch horror films, my children.
But they will like a Christmas Muppet Christmas Carol, or they'll feel the back of my hand. You're going to like it. This is my question, my Muppet Christmas Carol-based question to you, which you're not going to understand.
I won't get it.
What do you think about the decision made by Jeffrey Katzenberg of Disney Studios to cut the song When Love Is Gone from the theatrical release of A Muppet Christmas Carol? I mean, it's a bit soppy, but surely it ruins the balance of the ending when the song is reprised as The Love We Found, doesn't it? I'm not calling Jeffrey Katzenberg a prick. That's not my place. Not on this special day. Not really a question.
No, it's more of a statement.
It's more of a statement. Venting.
But yes.
Okay, now I'm not going to get on Death in Paradise. I'm not going to get in any Disney film.
No, you're not going to be in the remake of A Muppet Christmas Carol.
I want to make a Muppet Christmas Carol, in which all.
Well, you go down a
in
hole.
In which all the Muppets.
And then you spit your.
Well, it's their parody of the Muppets Christmas Carol, and
within a
only one of the Muppets will be playing the original character. They're playing.
Yeah,
no, I can't remember. I'm too drunk to remember how it goes now.
I don't care about that question. So,
okay.
Have you got any other Christmas ones? Because it's nearly Christmas.
Well, it is. It is very.
Have you got any Halloween ones?
Why would we want to go back to Halloween? Have you ever seen a ghost? Not Halloween-y enough for you?
It could have been more Halloween-y.
What is the smallest amount of money you have received in a Christmas card from an elderly relative?
A pound.
Did he?
Yeah.
When was that?
Last year. That's a complete lie.
It is.
That was an absolute lie. I got
£5 from my cousin. She's my cousin Judith. She's like my first cousin, first removed.
Right.
For my 50th birthday, in a card saying "Happy 40th."
And
birthday.
What did you get? A £5 note. £5. What did you spend it on?
Drugs. All on drugs. I spent it on
beer. I put it towards drugs.
Bought one drug with it. I said,
£5.
How much cocaine will this buy me? Thank good man.
I'm so lucky. No, I haven't had money in a Christmas card for years.
Have you?
No.
Oh, she's lovely, Judith. Thank you, Judith, for my £5.
Yeah.
Like
you won't
you
get
give
that
to a 50
year
old man.
I love that. How old's Judith?
I mean, she's about 65, 70.
That's not. Right. Well, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, you know, in her 80s.
She might be. I'm not that interested in
that. You don't care about Judith. No wonder she only gave
she's
you £5.
What relation is this? She's my mum, my grandma's sister's daughter. So that's like first cousin. once removed or something. Is that right, or is not? Is it different genetics?
So it's just like those, you know, when you used to call like family friends aunties and uncles?
Yeah. She's my mum's cousin.
Those dubious people. Oh, it's Auntie Derek.
What's that? What's my mum's cousin? Mate, go. What is it? Second cousin.
Wow.
Removed.
What does removed mean? Is it?
Have a nice chat, haven't we?
I love it.
Have a nice chat with this.
Well, let's all go back to mine. Come on, let's fuck it. Let's go to mine. Let's get a pizza.
How do you find it? How do you, were born in Hertfordshire?
I was born in oh, where was I born? Edgware.
Oh, in Edgware.
Yeah.
But you live in Hertfordshire. That I live in Hertfordshire.
All, that was all kind of derived. Oh, Edgware. Oh.
Was that in Hertfordshire?
It's sort of North London, Hertfordshire. It's not, yeah.
You live in that nice little part of Hertfordshire now.
Yeah.
And I live a bit north of you in Hertfordshire.
You do? I won't say where, just in case people come and...
They will come and get me, and they'll find my field where I get stones, and they'll kick...
No one's actually going to come and see
they
you.
They fucking are. Look
why?
Look at that bike bloke. He's got a picture of Brian Blessing.
Nobody,
Blessing.
No.
I mean, it's a fucking fag to get there, mate, I have to tell you.
Straight up the A1, it's easy.
Two can play at this game.
No one cares where I live.
Sadly.
I'll tell you, I don't care.
Have you ever met a shepherd?
No, but I have rescued a sheep.
Have you?
Yeah.
There we go, this is good. This is it. This
in
is
Wales, it was stuck in a quarry and I persuaded it to come nearer. And...
How did you persuade? What do you tempt it out with? Your acting skills. Is that a mother sheep?
I did that. And then I went back to my friend's cottage and got a carrot.
Yeah. Carrot?
Yeah, because it was...
For sheep?
Well, I don't know what they fucking eat.
Not carrots, that's rabbits. That's rabbit food.
Maybe I rescued a rabbit. But he was stuck and he was kind of... You know when they kind of stumble and they're a bit like, you know, a bit like fawny when they can't... And it was like a sheep dip thing and he couldn't get out. So I did the call.
Yeah.
And we managed to get him out, me and my friend Emily. He didn't even say thank you, just gambled off like a twat.
I was once attacked by a goat when I was with my niece, who was about
11,
when I was about 11. She was about 11, my niece. And I used my 11-year-old niece as a human shield. I got behind.
Brilliant.
Didn't get hurt.
I got bitten by a goat.
Bitten by a goat?
Yeah, I've been bitten by several goats, actually. Not at the same time. It wasn't like an ambush. A goat ambush.
What situation did a goat
bite? I was at London Zoo, and I was being all kind of a bit, you know, because there's a petting zoo, and I was being a bit like, yeah, no, I'm an animal lover. The animals love me. And one bit me, and then another one bit me, and then I got butted.
Right.
I wasn't even with my kids. I was on my... What I was doing at London Zoo on my own, I have no idea. I still don't know. I was probably very drunk, just going, hey!
The goats at London Zoo must feel aggrieved. Because, like, if you're a goat in London Zoo, that you're the shittest.
No, I think
that is the lowest you can be.
The thing is, though, what they've done really cleverly is that that's the only animal you can pet.
Yeah.
So people go, oh, no, look, goats. And they kind of pet them. And then they... Yeah, but you can't pet the lions. Cause...
I fed a tiger in London Zoo.
I'd love to
I did
do
a
that.
Gig for the tigers in London Zoo, and
did
then we
you?
Were allowed to go backstage to the backstage areas where the tiger's just relaxing. I think we did a great job
like
being a tiger today.
Getting his claws
done. I was awesome.
Done.
And then you stick some meat through them. They stay in character.
Do they?
Even backstage.
Do they? They don't.
Yeah.
They don't break.
They do, yeah. They really go for you.
They don't look me directly in the eye.
They really like, they would eat you if you got in there with them.
What was it like feeding a tiger?
It was nice, yeah, it was good.
I'd love to do that.
Very exciting. I reckon if you wrote to London Zoo.
Do you think they'd let me feed a tiger?
Yeah.
Do you think they'd let me ride an elephant?
No. I think they'd let me fuck a penguin.
I've done that, it's not.
How much money do you
think? Overrated.
How much money do you think you have to give London Zoo? Say, so I just want 5 minutes in the penguin enclosure.
Just don't look.
On my own.
Turn a blind eye.
£10 million.
Don't look while I do obscene things to this penguin.
If you don't see it, then there's no problem. It
doesn't matter. Penguin won't say anything.
£10 million there, just in cash.
Penguin won't squawk.
Nice.
But he will be forever traumatised.
Yeah. Just one penguin. For all the... It was, you know...
See, that makes me feel bad because you're being horrible to a penguin. So.
I'm gonna block you.
Banned now.
For daring to say that me wanting to fuck a penguin in London Zoo is a bad thing. You're the bad one for saying it's bad. That's my satire.
Okay, this is getting murky now. I'm a bit.
It's going to start getting fun. This is where it gets fun. We're not going to go on for much longer because look, I've just completed a circle. My move goal has been achieved. How did that happen?
How have you done that?
How did my move goal achieve? I've just literally moved
just
my arm.
Your arm is just really toned and fit.
They're very poor. I've just checked. There was something I wanted to talk to you about. It was very exciting. When you were 18...
Oh, God, what?
You ripped your groin muscles.
Don't make it sound salacious.
I was making it sound...
Yes, I did. I trained as a dancer.
Yeah, trained as a dancer. So you'd have been a dancer.
I used to be a dancer, and now I'm not, because I was terrible. But I auditioned for like Starlight Express Skate School and things like that. So I was like, you know, I was kind of chorus line good enough. Being a big ed and I thinking, oh, I can do this. I didn't warm up properly. And in a class before skate school, I banged down into splits without warming up and ripped my groin. And I heard it go, kung, 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 like three metallic kind of sounds. And they had to lift me up. And
were you still in the splits when they lifted you up?
Yeah. And I was crying and it really hurt. I had to go and have intensive physio. And then that whole side turned in because you have a turnout as a dancer. You have to have a natural turnout. And this whole side turned in and I could... And that was me done for dancing.
I thought this would be a funny story. It's kind of tragic. How's your groin getting on now?
My groin's fine now. My groin's better than ever now. No, but it was a blessing in disguise, yes. Because I was a shit dancer and I'm kind of a mediocre actor, so it's fine. So I make money out of acting, but I would never have done it out of dancing. Because you know, you have to give up when you're like 13, because it's like such a short-lived career.
It is.
And unless you're absolutely amazing, you're always only going to be chorus or, you know, you're never going to be like...
But being an actor is a more competitive, isn't it, than being a dancer?
Yeah, it is, but
I think it's also like with an actor, it's sort of harder to if you're a dancer and you can dance,
yes.
It's sort of quantifiable in a way that is almost mathematically quantifiable, whereas with an actor there's loads of people who can do it and you might be the best actor in the world and never go in for the indignant man.
That's
and
true.
Someone goes, oh, fucking Ben
this
Abel,
this is all about you now, isn't
that.
It
yeah.
We're coming back to
but,
this,
you know, look, watch this, fuck, I didn't get the fucking part. Fuck Sherlock,
there you go, see?
How indignant was that? Come on!
It's too indignant. I think you're probably too indignant. Too indignant. I think you need to pull it back slightly.
It should have been more man.
I think repress the...
Less indignant,
less
more
is more.
Man.
I always think...
There were two clues.
As in acting, less is always more. Just don't give them everything. Just
that's what
them...
Julie McKenzie told me.
Yeah.
Don't worry, on this little screen, you're going to see that gurney.
You won't even be in it, mate. You'll be fine. You'll be cut. You'll be on the cutting room floor.
Oh. How did trainers? You bought trainers for your kids today. How did that go?
Joe got some.
Yeah.
Grace didn't.
You annoyed Grace?
No. She's asleep. I think Grace.
She's gone. They've left.
No, she tried on two pairs and spent 10 minutes each. No, she tried on one pair and spent what felt like 4 days walking up and down trying them on, and then was like, I don't want them. Whereas Joe just tried two pairs on and went, yeah, no, that's fine.
Did you see James O'Brien's trainers?
No, they won't hear you. They're asleep.
Are they? That's nice.
But can I say, I've got the same ones as James O'Brien. I bought them the other day.
They're not the same. His are white.
No, I'm not wearing them now.
Oh, okay,
but
sorry.
I bought exactly the same pair, and I think it has something to do with our age. That was an interesting story, wasn't it?
That's what I think. I'm going to ask you one more emergency question.
Go on, then.
It's going to be a new one.
Ooh, what, that you've just made up?
No, it's going to be a fairly new one. I'm going to ask you this one. Have you ever, or do you suspect you have ever, made love to an insect that has taken human form for a night?
Say it again.
Have you ever, or do you suspect you have ever,
right,
made love to an insect that has taken human form for a night?
I'm trying to think. I don't think I have,
no.
But I'm not ruling it out.
No.
There is a possibility.
Yeah.
But when I was about 18, I'm not talking now.
No.
I'm talking before, you know, before everything, before acting, before deciding what I wanted to do with my life.
I was a virgin when I was 18.
Were you? When did you lose your virginity?
Where or when?
Well, let's do both. Come on.
I lost my virginity in St. Edmund Hall, Oxford.
Right.
I was just waiting for to be in Foch College. And I was 19 years and about 8 months old.
How was it?
Not very good.
Why?
Because I didn't really think I wanted. I'd kind of kept it for so long, and then the girl I had sex with.
Were you going out with her?
No.
You but just
I wanted
her.
To. I sort of fall in
did
love.
Did you love
with,
her? But did she? Was she not very
she
responsive?
Love me.
She just wanted to shag
and
you.
She wanted, obviously. Who can blame her?
Yeah.
Imagine this, but 18.
Well, she probably thought you were going to be in Death in Paradise at some point
that's
in the future.
What she went there. And then realised I wasn't. She wouldn't use any contraception, and then I was too nervous to do anything.
Why wouldn't she use contraception?
Because, you know, it was the 1980s. There was
the
AIDS.
Height of all that going on, yeah.
Going on.
I mean, it was,
you
like,
thought,
dangerous.
Yeah. But she knew. Also knew I was a virgin, I think, so she probably thought she was safe.
Oh, how, did you tell her you were a virgin?
I should think so. I think she probably worked it out. If not... so it wasn't very good.
And so you did it then?
Yeah, it was the week, same week the first of my grandparents died.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I thought, let's celebrate.
It all ties in.
Yeah. Wait till one of my grandparents is dead
somebody who really doesn't care.
And he's quite... for a little bit. And
he's quite haphazard about contraception at the height of a fucking
and
epidemic.
That was it.
And was it the only time you did it with her?
Yeah.
And then how long was it until you did it again with somebody else, let's say?
I mean, it was a little while. I think it was about another 8 or 9 months. I was 20 by the time.
Were you?
Yeah. I'd had
and
properly
who was that person?
Say. That was a girl who worked backstage in... I was just thinking about her today. She's called Rachel. And she was... I was just thinking about it, because suddenly you think... Because what I find very weird about being 51 is suddenly realising that everyone else that you were contemporary with is that age. Because I still don't think I'm 51.
And no,
then you go, fuck, Rachel's 50 years old. And you go, that
and
can't
did you think
be.
About her today?
I can't be, yeah. I'm just thinking about this, thinking, I wonder what she's up to today.
She's in Death in Paradise.
Yeah, she might be. Wasn't... that we went out for a little while.
How long did you go out for?
It was a few weeks.
Okay.
And
when was your first serious relationship? Come here, like Dr. Ruth.
I just don't.
Then
I don't think I've had it yet. I think I'm still waiting. Don't say anything to my wife.
Mrs. Herring will have a lot to say about this.
Well, look, it's been lovely to talk to you. I think we're going to wrap up. So you've got the Christmas. What's it called?
The Queen and I.
The Queen and I.
Yeah.
Yes, of course it is. I know that.
Yeah.
I know that book.
You should read it if you haven't.
Yeah, it's a very good book.
If you have, well done.
You should read all books. You should read Emergency Questions from cover to cover.
I read one of those because I love asking people questions.
You're going to enjoy this.
Can I have it, really?
There's 100 for children. You can ask your children. I think if your children
Grace,
sat through
Joe.
This, you can probably ask anything in that book to your children.
Oh, who would win in a fight? King Kong? No.
Yeah. don't ask that one, chicken. They won't know who King Dong is. It's fine.
They fucking will.
Is it lovely? And is there anything else coming up that we
no,
know about?
No, no. I have no idea now. The future is uncertain.
Wow.
For everybody. So, yeah, we don't know.
Well, I hope you don't get banned from Twitter.
Oh, no, that's inevitable. I will. Probably tomorrow, if
I can't believe they banned you for that. That's
6 days.
I'm going to have a word with
you. Can we just ask why? Because they haven't explained to me why. And
it's a very confusing policy.
I don't think they like me very much. And I give them gold.
Been a very, very loyal customer to Twitter.
I have, I am.
Ladies and gentlemen, give a massive round. She turned up, Amanda Abington. She's here. You have been listening to Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Rich Herring, and my guest, Amanda Abington. Thank you very much to Pest for providing this music. I'm indebted to them. Thank you to everyone at the British Comedy Guide, whom I'm indebted to, and Go Faster Stripe, I'm indebted to them, and everyone at Leicester Square Theatre, they're lovely too. Thank you to my producer, Ben Walker. I'm not indebted to him this week. And to my executive producer, whose name is John Prythurch, or it might be Prythurch. P-R-Y-T-H-E-R-C-H. He doesn't say how to pronounce it, which is the first job of any decent executive producer. He's the worst one we've had. Anyway, it's a Fuzz Go Faster Stripe and Sky Potato and Sky Stripe production.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.